Today's message is on Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 32, as well as Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 through 33. We're going to be talking about the story of Abimelech, or a couple of stories about Abimelech. But first, let's get some context. Some of these stories in Genesis we have taken out of order. And so I think it's good for us to provide a little bit of context for where we are at this point in the scriptures. So we've already had God coming down and promising Abraham a son by Sarah, and then destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Thereafter, Lot escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah and lived in a cave with his daughters. After that, Abraham and Sarah settle in Gerar, where Abraham claims that Sarah is his sister, and she is almost given to King Abimelech. Thereafter, Isaac is born, and Ishmael and Hagar are sent away. And today, Abraham makes a covenant with Abimelech, and we will also study a similar covenant made by his son Isaac. So, first off, who is Abimelech? Abimelech is the king of the Philistines in the days of the patriarchs, and he lives in a city called Gerar. Gerar is far south in Canaan, and in the end, the city is going to be called Beersheba. That is going to be the Hebrew name for the city. This city comes up throughout the scriptures, usually just as a geographic designation, meaning the far south. You'll often see from Dan to Beersheba, Dan being the farthest north city, Beersheba being the farthest south city in the land of Israel. And so those are used as geographic designations. Abimelech, the king of Gerar, is mentioned only in the book of Genesis, so we don't have much context from the scriptures to teach us a great deal about him. We're going basically only on what we know from these passages. Now, he appears in the life of Abraham, of course, when he almost takes Sarah as his wife and makes a covenant with Abraham. And then, of course, we have a similar story with Isaac, where he almost takes Rebekah, or where Isaac pulls the same trick, at least, the "she is my sister" trick. So they pull the same stunt. And then, of course, we have a similar story with the covenants as well, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, there are some who suppose that Abimelech in the time of Abraham is not the same Abimelech in the time of Isaac, that perhaps the Abimelech in the time of Isaac is a son or a grandson who has the same name, or perhaps that his name is a title for royalty used by the Philistines at the time. The same conjecture is made about his companion, Phicol, who is with him during these events. I don't really see that there's any reason for that, though, because people lived so long during the time of the patriarchs. We have people who are easily living to 120 years of age at this point. And so, to look at the scriptures for what they say, you know, we've got a fellow who has the same name both times, and he has a commander, a military commander with him both times who has the same name. I think that we should just accept that it's the same person. You know, even though he appears some 60 years later, you know, this man could have become king at a young age, 20, 30. He could have lasted for 60 years after he met with Abraham until he's about 100 years old. And then, of course, he could have met with Isaac and then lived for another 20, 40 years. So I see no reason to presume that these are different people. I think we should just take the scriptures at what they say. So let's get to the passage. And I will be reading from the ESV, and we'll start with Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 32. At that time, and of course, at that time, this is after Ishmael has been sent away. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in all that you do." So let's talk about that. God is with you in all that you do. Why do you suppose it is that Abimelech says that God is with Abraham in all that Abraham does? Well, first off, we already know from the previous interaction with Abimelech in the "she is my sister" incident that God had appeared to him on Abraham's behalf, that God had called Abraham a prophet. And of course, we've just seen a great miracle with him. Abraham's 90-year-old wife just had a child. Abraham also represents a military threat to Abimelech. He has a great many men, and this was a large entourage which had already defeated the great king Chedorlaomer. And you'll note, of course, that Abimelech has brought his military commander Phicol with him, so the military angle might be something that Abimelech is certainly looking at. But the case in point is that God has been working his blessing in Abraham's life, and as Abraham grows greater, the surrounding peoples are becoming a little uneasy. So as a result, Abimelech is going to be ready to make a treaty with Abraham. We continue reading. "Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned." And Abraham said, "I will swear." So then, what are the terms of the treaty? Abimelech, first off, specifically requests that Abraham not deal falsely with him. The word here means not lying to him or cheating him. He wants honest dealings coming out of Abraham and his camp. He wants Abraham to deal kindly with him. And he wants the terms of the treaty to extend to future generations and to all of the occupants of the land where Abraham has sojourned. Now note that this treaty is being made in the name of God, Elohim. It's not being made in the name of God by his proper name, but it is being made in the name of God. Now, contracts in Bible times, and we've mentioned this before, but they were made in the name of God by swearing self-maledictory oaths. This would be saying, for instance, all these curses come upon me if I do not keep these terms. So God is the one who backs this covenant, and a person who violates such a covenant sworn in God's name is said to take the Lord's name in vain. That is the meaning of take the Lord's name in vain, not simply to say God's name in an inappropriate fashion or some such thing. Now, Abraham is prepared to swear to the treaty, and we expect that he keeps his word. We don't have any stories to indicate that he did not keep his word thereafter. But Abraham has a demand for Abimelech before ratifying the treaty. Now, we'll move on to that, starting in verse 25. "When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, 'I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today.' So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock apart, and Abimelech said to Abraham, 'What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart?' He said, 'These 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well.' Therefore that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham journeyed many days in the land of the Philistines." So I said we were going to stop at verse 32, but we actually stopped at 34. But in any case, let's talk a little bit about what happened here. What was Abraham's demand before they ratified the treaty? He had a well, and there had been some controversy surrounding it. Now, first off, hand digging a well was very dangerous and time-consuming work in those times, and so a well was of a significant value. Water, of course, was also rare in this south end of Canaan. It's an arid place, and water, of course, is the source of life. So Abraham had dug a well, or his servants had dug a well, near Gerar, where he was staying, and the servants of Abimelech had seized this well, as we will find is their custom, unfortunately. But Abraham tells this to Abimelech, and Abimelech says that he hasn't heard of it because Abraham didn't tell him. Now, incidentally, this sets a legal and moral precedent that is still followed today, which is that no one is obligated to correct a wrong of which they have not been informed by the victim. There is no biblical obligation, for instance, for a person to apologize or make right a situation until that person has been confronted for having done something wrong by the person whom they have wronged. And we'll see that when we get into New Testament conflict resolution. This is also still a practice in modern law. For instance, if you're in a court and the court does something which is against the rules and you do not object, they are under no obligation to uphold your rights. Now, this might be an unfortunate thing in a court, particularly since we have such a complex legal system, and we would hope that they would do what they can to uphold the laws without you telling them to. But the reality is that if you want your rights to be upheld in this world, you will have to vociferously stand up and ask that they be upheld, because if you simply sit back and allow people to steal your wells and take your rights, then they will steal your wells and take your rights. However, Abimelech seems willing to resolve the problem now that he has been notified of it. But Abraham chooses to take the higher ground. So in addition to the gifts that were exchanged as part of the treaty, Abraham sets aside 7 new lambs as a witness that he dug the well. Essentially, Abraham has maintained his claim that he dug the well and that it is his, while at the same time he buys the well from Abimelech. In this way, Abraham conducts his business entirely above board. Even when he is wronged, we see him going above and beyond the call of duty to ensure that the person opposing him is satisfied. No one can find any reason to accuse Abraham regarding this well, because in the first place, even if he had just simply taken it for free, he could say he dug it. But if anyone said, oh, you took this well from us, well, he doesn't have to sit by for that. He's paid for it as well. I wonder how many of us practice this customer is always right sort of mentality. I wonder if we are running a business and someone comes in and they mistreat us, do we turn the other cheek and say the customer is always right and act always above board? Do we give people the extra when they don't deserve it? Or are we always, always arguing for exactly what's ours? And are we always pushing to get just a little bit more out of people? I think that Abraham's generosity was a very good example for all of us. Now, the name of the well is Beersheba. Abraham has named the well that. Beersheba means well of an oath. And this, of course, is because of the oath that he made with Abimelech. And interestingly, his son will also be making an oath there. Now, as we have mentioned, when Isaac comes to Gerar, his experience there mirrors Abraham. He plays the she is my sister trick. We've already had a sermon on that, but Abimelech doesn't fall for it this time. And Isaac makes Abimelech and the Philistines a little uneasy, just like Abraham did. We can look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 16. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. So it's obvious that Isaac has been blessed. He has the same sort of might that his father had. And he makes the Philistines a little bit uneasy. I'm going to read on from verse 17. So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, this water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Of course, there's a pun on the name there. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called the name Rehoboth, saying, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And now, of course, for those of you who are wondering about the puns, we can go down and look at the footnotes. Esek means contention, Sitnah means enmity, and Rehoboth means broad places or room. So he has plenty of room with his new well. Skipping down to verse 26. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? Now here's where we see the first real difference in Isaac's story. We've already seen that they both play the she is my sister trick. They both make the Philistines a little uneasy. The Philistines like to come and steal the wells. And while Isaac has displayed the same generous character as his father, yielding every contested well until he finally digs one that no one tries to claim, when Abimelech comes to Isaac, Isaac does not at first receive him very kindly. He says, "Why are you coming down here? You don't like me. You have already thrown me out." So he doesn't quite receive him kindly. However, when he hears that Abimelech has come with peaceful terms, he makes a similar agreement to the one that his father made. So let's read on. They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm. Just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace, you are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. That same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug and said to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba, and therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. So at the time of Abraham, he had dug a well and called it Beersheba. Isaac stole the name in this second instance, and the entire city of Gerar came to take on that name, this being the place where two covenants were made with Philistine kings. So then that concludes the passage. It tells us everything that we need to know about Abimelech and the covenants that he made with Abraham and Isaac. For those of you who might be listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.